Christina Sergun Powers.
And my name is Sonia Sophie, and we are so happy that you are here tuning in again to another one of our episodes. Love your life now. That's what it's all about. And today we decided we're going to continue a little bit on the discussion that we started last week. And if you listened to last week's episode, last week we were talking about the feminine power and women kind of coming together instead of looking at each other as competition or having to compare one another to, you know, what's better in her life and what's not so good in my life. We had been focusing on turning that into collaboration, helping each other, lifting each other up, and therefore making the world a better place. Now today, because three of us, and that's not including me, have daughters who are about to be women. And so we wanted to continue the discussion a little bit and see now as mothers dealing with another woman, another female, strong female energy, about to be her own woman. What are some of the challenges that you are facing? What are some of the beautiful things that you are seeing that are developing where maybe you have been planting seeds, you know, all those years? I want to know, you know, how are you feeling about that? And where is all of that right now as they are, you know, as they are going out in the world with or without you? It's going to happen. So, you know, what's your place? What's their place? All of that. So let's get started. Are you ready?
Yeah. One of the things I noticed that it takes off from what you were talking about, how, you know, we turn things around from being in that competitive spirit to really being in collaboration and sisterhood with each other. But we had to turn it around. It was something we were born into. And I just noticed from my daughter, the same thing occurred. There was something that I saw and I didn't know how it happened, but she had a competition with me. Mm. It was a competition of to try to be like me. I mean, that, I guess, in and itself is good. There's something in that she wanted to be like me. There was never, you have to be like me. I am the example. But for some reason, whatever it was, there was this competition that she saw herself in trying to compete with me. And I guess some sort of feelings of not meeting up to that. So I guess, you know, my awareness of that and trying to figure out how to debunk that and how to let her be her own, that, I want to be an example, but I don't want to be the example that she needs to be. She needs to just be her own. And that could be completely different than me.
Really great. So here's what I noticed with my daughter in terms of her also feeling needing to meet up to her mom's way of being in the world, needing to be kind of that way. I show up very compassionate, friendly in the world, free with myself. And so when I started sharing that some of the things that I was dealing with very authentically with her and how I was dealing with things, she started seeing the authentic human side of me. I think so. It started with the communication of just being real with her of what I was dealing with. I always had this thing that she's young. I need to hide her from pain and what I'm dealing with whether it's with relationship or career or health, whatever I was dealing with. That was doing a disservice in our relationship. So now that I'm fully sharing what I'm dealing with and how I'm overcoming them and how I'm working it through with my friends, she's opened up so much, and now she's sharing some of the things she's dealing with, and it's been beautiful. So again, I think getting off not pedestal of this pressure that we put on ourselves that we have to be perfect is doing a disservice to both all of our kids, right?
Great. And I just want to add for the listeners, Christina, your daughter is right now how old?
She's 17 and a half. She'll be 18 in October.
Okay, and then yours?
Aureen is going to be 17 in 5 days.
Okay.
Christina's 13 and she's going to be 14 in September. Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought she was older.
No, I know a lot of
people. She's very mature.
She really is. She really is. Hers is, for some time, like, there have been things that I can see where she would like to be like me, and then there were times where she'd kind of broken away to find her own way. She's wired very differently, and I didn't grow up with an astrological sense. You know, I came from a Catholic faith, and you poo-pooed that. You didn't really see how that affected life, affected a being, and I can really see that. I mean, especially we're coming out of Mercury retrograde. I can see how that affects us, and I can really see our birth at the time of our birth. And she's a Virgo, so there's some amazing things that are happening with me being an Aries and she being a Virgo and needing to have things a certain way.
So she's a perfectionist.
To show up a certain way. It's emerging.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't go into her bedroom and see that. But I can see it emerging in her, and eventually we'll be seeing it in her room, but we're just, that's her space. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's really, really powerful. And our situation has been quite interesting because I left the home. And that was a really, really challenging spot to be in. And she was, about eight or nine? And I was seeing things unfold with the dynamic with her father and me, and I was really conscious that one day she might reach for that when she starts to deal with a relationship and think that that's, you know, how a relationship would be. And I really wanted her to see, I wanted her to see me happy. And I wanted to see her dad more, you know, more fulfilled too. And it meant at the time leaving the house.
Mm.
So it was a good couple of years, and it was, you know, it's been challenging and very powerful. And I've made life choices where I live, for me, it's a dream of mine when I was a child. I wanted to be connected to the land. So I had that emerge now when everything came collapsing and, you know, no one in my family gets divorced. And I, the mom, had left the house, you know, because her dad and I said we would keep her on the ranch in this experience. So it's been very, very powerful stuff to go through. And we're on the other side of it. And mom's living outside. I've lived going on 5 years outside, you know, in a tent and in the process of determining, okay, is it going to be a yurt, a teepee, the adobe piece? But we're working all that out right now. And it's been very, very powerful. And watching her, you know, I know her dad was thinking, oh, she's going to be mocked. She's going to go through this thing as a teenager. It's going to be so hard for her to go to school and have other kids have moms that are more normal. You know, and mm-hmm. and it has not been that way for her. She's really, I mean, there were some bumps, but she really sees that I'm finding out who I am. And through our friendship together, too, what we're doing as a group, it's been powerful.
So a couple of things. Number one, I feel that I guess many of us, if we remember our childhood, have at times thought that we had a mom that is not normal, okay? So
yeah.
It doesn't matter where the mom lives or what she does or what she looks like, you know, once in a while, you know, we're thinking, gosh, my mom is not normal, right?
It's weird.
And so, okay, so we possibly, very likely, I guess, especially daughters would at some point think that of their mothers. And
yeah.
So realizing, number one, when that happens, that's part of growing up. That's part of also learning just about life and about people, and that not everybody is the same.
Yeah.
And what do we call not normal? Usually it's something that's different than what we're doing. We call that, well, that's not normal because, you know, I'm normal, obviously. So what I'm doing is normal. And if you're doing something else, that's not normal. So that's, you know, that's one of those. So really, no matter what we do as mothers, there will be a time where our children think we are not normal.
Yeah.
And maybe being okay with that will help us through that time, not take it too personal.
Yeah, being unattached to their experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're having this experience of mom's weird or this is so. And we get attached to their experience. We can let them have their experience and not make it mean anything about
yes.
us, because it's not about us. right? Beautiful. I think so when the unattachment showed up for me, and I always remind myself not to be attached, whether it's, you know, a very messy, disorganized, cluttered room, which is the opposite of how I live my life, allowing that, that is her experience. She needs to go through that. And I realized the more I allow her to be herself and her have her experience, and I'm not attached, I don't make it mean anything about me as a mom, the freer she becomes, the more expressed she becomes, the happier she is. And suddenly she does have these urges of, wait a minute, I do want to organize this area of my room, right?
Yes.
But only when I'm purely unattached, and yeah, and it's make it really okay. It really is okay.
Great. Yeah. That, see, that's great insight, is to learn as our children get older, and particularly, I believe, with girls that we're focusing on today also, is that, yes, the girl does have a certain inner expectation of, okay, well, this is a family I grow up in, so I will become this part of the family at some point. And then looking at, well, what do I like about the way my mom does it? And then I do that. Or what do I feel needs to be done? And so they're trying really hard to fulfill that, yeah, that space. And if we as mothers want to tell them, this is how you need to do it, we're really, like you mentioned, stifling, yes, their own development. Mm-hmm. And even if they would do it that way, they would not be a happy person. So I think part of, there's a part of the, where it becomes tricky for a lot of women to, mm-hmm, let that happen.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, we can talk like this and we know better, right? Mm-hmm. We know all of this higher consciousness, but when you're in it, oh, yeah, you still get caught into the web of it. And so, you know, when I was growing up, there was a point where my parents kind of checked out and I was raising myself and finding my way. And as I've raised my children, I wanted to show up to be the parent that I wanted, mm, right? This is the parent I really wanted. So I'm showing up, and there's been all kinds of, you know, challenges with me doing that within myself. And so right now, you know, she's on the road to college. And so I wished I had had parents that were right there guiding me along the way with the SATs and the ACT and, you know, supporting and helping and da 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 da. And, you know, this is the way you do it. But that's also becomes overbearing, and it becomes very, you know, adding to the stress that they already have. You know, I found my way through college. Mm-hmm. I, you know, went, you know, found my way. Yeah, I thought it was challenging, but I think any way you go, it's going to, mm-hmm, be challenging. So, right, I mean, I am literally in this space right now. She's going to be taking another college entrance exam tomorrow. And so we've been going through this week of the challenges of, oh, you know, were you studying? Did you, you know, keep up? Da, 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 you know, well, you know what? It's, she's going to get the score she's going to get. She's going to find her way into college if she wants to go in. It may not be the way I went in. It may be her way. Because I was hoping that, you know, she was going to get to go all, you know, be there completely supported and not have to work her way through college like I did. But it may not be her path. Whatever, I'm yeah, as we speak, yeah, as today unfolds, I'm letting go of that desire to make up for what I didn't get.
Yes. Great. That's a great point. Now, usually that starts very young. If a mother or a father is trying to live their life
through
vicariously through their children.
Yeah.
It's right? Still called attachment.
Yeah.
It's attachment.
Yeah. It's attachment. And that's when it becomes so important to realize that this is a completely different person. What's going on in their mind is not the same thing that's going on in our mind, or that has gone on in our mind when we were that age. On top of that, with the fast changes in the world, the things that they need to understand and deal with and learn, you know, at age 12, 14, 16, 18, are so different from the things that we had to deal with and learn at age 12, 14, 16, 18. That really, by us trying to protect them, which, you know, natural instinct, modern, mm-hmm, but to protect them too long, mm-hmm, and make their life kind of look the way we either had it because we really liked it, or we wanted it because we didn't have what we wanted, either or, we're really pulling them back into a past that mm-hmm. doesn't exist mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had to do that with my son. It wasn't really severe, but it was about things that I was listening to, like little stories I was listening to every night when I went to bed, and little things that I was watching when I was a child. And I thought, well, this is the best way. Well, but we live in a completely different country. So, and in the end, it's completely irrelevant. And so realizing maybe that some of the things that we think are so important are irrelevant to this other person in this other time.
Yeah.
So true. And I mean, we've lived that life in terms of our culture. So our children were born here. And all they kept hearing is Armenian culture, Armenian this, speak Armenian, go to Armenian school. And my daughter from a very, very young age, I mean, she's just so brilliant. So there was such consciousness in her. She would just resist all kinds of things like that where it was, you know, coming from the past or categories or separation. And she would say, who cares? What does it matter? And she did end up in a charter school, not Armenian school, eventually, where she is surrounded by all kinds of cultures, all kinds of economic backgrounds, and it's beautiful. So allowing her to guide us that way, rather than constantly making her be in a situation or in a school or culture that was stifling her, right? And now slowly she is interested in our culture. Right, she's like, there's good things in the culture I can pull from, but I don't have to go 100% that way.
Right, and that's not who she is,
no.
but she is a citizen, a human being, essentially.
A world citizen yeah.
who recognizes the validity of all other cultures,
yes.
and then goes and says, well, all the cultures have something great to offer, let me take the things that are have a purpose for me, that are bringing me forward, and how can we learn from that?
Oh my gosh, we learn. And so when I thank her for being that way and for being our teacher and guiding us to a higher consciousness, I can see finally she feels like, wow, I'm no longer being made wrong. I'm contributing
wow.
to life and society and my parents. And that is what, you know, self-esteem and confidence comes from, so that she continues doing that. So really, we've been really acknowledging who she is in the world and her contribution to us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So acknowledging
mm-hmm.
the fact that these young girls, and I, you know, I have to say,
mm-hmm.
I'm so happy I have a son, okay? Because I wanted to have a boy. For some reason, I knew it was going to be so much easier. And it's different because when you have a daughter, there comes this time where she is becoming that woman where when you are still in that space of competition...
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening, and I see that in other people, and you see that on TV a lot playing out.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, I'm just like, ooh, I'm so happy I don't have to deal with that. And it did not really happen between me and my mom, but I definitely noticed pieces where if I would have been in that space, that could have happened with my mom. Like one thing that she would always say, if I brought a boy home, it wasn't many, but and then I left home when I was 18 and never to return really, because there was a continent in between or an ocean. But she would say, oh yeah, look, you know, like look at me, because when you look at me, you're gonna see, like she's gonna be really beautiful still in 20 years from now, because you know, because they turn out like their moms. And so I could see from her almost that, and this was years later when I realized that. In the moment, I didn't care at all, but it was kind of that, you know, her trying to really compete with me in a way, saying, well, look at how beautiful I am. And that's why you should stay with my daughter, because now, then, you know, 20 years from now, she'll kind of look like me. It's just, you know, just think, you know, and like I said, I never went there when I was, I had my own stuff to deal with. We never, but looking at that, it's that, you know, if I would have been a different person especially if you, as you see a lot in the American culture, and I don't want to say the American, but that's where I saw it once I came here in movies here, that where this kind of competition starts between a mother and a daughter, mm-hmm. you know, regarding the opposite sex.
Yeah.
It's just, maybe that's why I had a son, because I just did not want to have anything to do with that, because it takes a conscious person, I think, to stand above that. So the three of you, that's what you're called to do, to be above, you know, to be above that, and to not let that come in. And as the daughters, when that happens, it's a very unconscious thing, that competition to, now I need to be better than my mom, look better than my mom, better than my, and yeah, that's that female competition that we were mentioning last week. So this is just, you know, it's a whole different thing to raise a daughter than to raise a son.
I agree, because I have one of each.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is everybody's experience, but having daughter has allowed me to really reflect on myself and grow much, much more than I would have if I didn't. Through communicating with my friends, with you guys, always kind of finding the place of no competition and collaborating and partnership with you has also shown up in my relationship with my daughter, where it's now a partnership and there's beautiful. No competition. And yes, with sons, I really get that. I think hormonally or just generally, the way they are born, they're much simpler. They're just very simple. And so if you keep it simple, you know, feed them well and teach them skills and be clear about your communication, off they go. But, you know, do you agree, Christina?
I absolutely agree, because...
And let's talk about that next week, because we're out of time. And I think that's a great topic for us to... So next week, let's talk about now, what is it like to have a son? Because then again, there's three of us who have a son that's about the same age. Mm-hmm. And then one person who can give us another different type of outside perspective, which would be Tina in this case. So so let's hold on to that. So I know you guys are like glued to the wherever you're listening from right now. This is such amazing stuff, and we can't wait to continue this conversation. I know you can't wait to listen in, because some of you have a daughter, some of you have a son, some of you have both, you know, 3-4 kids, who knows. And make sure you share this podcast with your friends who have sons and daughters, who have questions. And also, if you want to send us an email with a question or with, you know, a topic that you would like to us to just share what we think.